B-Pod Studios.
Look out for him. He's mean. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Andy Griffith, another sensational newcomer from Elia Kazan, who brought you Marlon Brando and James Dean.
It is an absolute pleasure to have this this gentleman on the phone with us right now. Andy Griffith. Hi, Andy.
Hi, who is it, Stan or
Hank? This is Stan and my buddy Haney's right over here.
How are you?
Good. I want to tell you that our radio station here, 96K Rock, is owned by the Beasley family from North Carolina.
The Beasley family?
Yes, George Beasley, and by the way, he might be listening, so Andy, if you can say hi to George Beasley real quick here.
Yes, hi, George Beasley.
He's another school teacher in North Carolina.
A school teacher started his first radio station in Benson, North Carolina.
I wonder if he's... I had an uncle-in-law named Andrew Beasley. I don't know whether they were kin or not.
But he is such a huge fan. His whole family here is such a huge fan.
Andy, I think you've given us about 5 years of job security by coming on today.
Oh, yeah. Good for me.
You have no idea. I got to ask you, probably one of my top 10 most favorite films of all time is A Face in the Crowd.
That was a good show, wasn't it?
I am telling you, that was your theatrical debut on film.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, that acting job was incredible. That is not the Andy Griffith that everybody knew with No Time for Sergeants or the Andy Griffith Show. There was a side of you that came out in that movie that was it was so powerful, and it truly one of my top 10 movies of all time.
Oh, thank you. I tell you, it took 3 months to make that picture, and Elia Kazan is a fantastic director and a wonderful teacher. I had no film experience at all. The first day of work on that show was the first time I ever saw a camera.
No kidding.
Yep. And his first piece of direction to me, I grabbed it, glommed onto it, and kept it all my life. It was the second shot of the movie. The first shot was just a long shot.
Right.
Second shot was across Patricia Neal in a car onto my face. She was trying to talk me into going to work at this radio station, and I was a bum. I was going to Florida and watch ball teams work out. And he said, cut. We were just rehearsing. And he called me aside, and he liked to whisper things. Put his arm around me. He said, Andy, he said, the camera is a wonderful piece of equipment. Said, it sees everything. Said, you don't have to show it anything. Said, if you think it and feel it hard enough, it'll come out through your eyes and the camera will see it. He said, now look at Patricia Neal. You don't want to go to work for her, but can't you think of something you'd like to do with her? And, you know, it only took a short while to get that scene shot.
Oh, man.
Because that piece of direction makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. But the thing that I want to ask you about that film is, as an actor, I mean, where do you have to find a dark side of yourself to come out like that? I mean,
I guess everybody's got a dark side.
Yeah.
What I had to do, this is hard to explain, but I'll do it as briefly as I can.
Okay.
He would call me in the morning every day and tell me what he expected to see that day, the kind of emotions and colors that he wanted to see that day. And so when we came to a given scene, whatever that emotion was, I would just put my mind on that. And I would build that emotion within myself. And then when it came time to shoot it, sooner or later I'd hit it. Hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah.
And there were some things that were very hard to do. I was supposed to feel paranoia toward Patricia Neal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was crazy over Patricia. And it was very hard to find that. But during discussions with him, we found it. And that last scene in the show was a real tough one.
Awesome. That was an awesome scene. There is a man literally falling apart.
Yeah. 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 The gaffer, you know, the head electrician,
mm-hmm.
lighting man, I was sitting at that long oval table. And he was they were lighting and ready to shoot, and I was sitting there. He put the light meter in front of my face and whispered, "Today's the day we find out whether you can act or not." And well, we got it. It took about 4 or 5 days to get that scene.
Do you realize? I mean, you must realize it now, in the era of shock jocks, how far ahead of its time that movie really was.
Yeah, it wasn't, when it came out, it was not financially successful. People didn't believe that that could happen in America. Now we know.
Yeah, that great scene in that movie where Patricia Neal's in the control room as your show's ending, and she turns the pot up to sound, you know, hear what Lonesome's really saying to the audience.
That stemmed from a radio show years ago. Uncle Don, I think his name was. And he was beloved of children and everything. And he said some very nasty things that somebody had left the sound open.
Coming off of that movie and what you became and what you personified in television afterwards, do you ever say to yourself, boy, I would have liked to have made another movie like that, a theatrical movie?
Oh, yeah. I did make a few. I was in a few.
Yeah.
I never made it on the big screen. I'm not sorry for that, because the little screen is my family, and I don't think I could ever do another picture like Face in the Crowd.
Oh, but the energy that you have to do in doing a film like that.
Kind of energy.
My God!
But you know, Andy, I saw that for the first time like 2 years ago on video.
Yeah,
and watching that thing, you forget that that was made in the 1950s, because it's so relevant, and your performance is it's so real, right down to talking about music. The scene that you did in the jailhouse where you're just singing at the top of your lungs, just great,
right,
man.
Right.
I got to ask you another question, Andy. And we had on the show several years ago the late Hal Smith. Otis from the Griffith Show, and he told us one story, and I want to know if it is true or not. He explained the time when Don Knotts left the show after 5 years.
Yeah,
and I believe the actor's name was Jack Burns, but from Burns and Shriver, the comedy.
Yeah, that's right.
And he came on, and Hal told us that he was going to be kind of the replacement actor for Barney after he left. And Hal said, and I want to know if this is true, he said that, thing got on your nerves so much, you said, get him the heck out of here. I can't work with the man.
It's true. It's true. I saw their act up in San Francisco. We flew up there to see it. And so we put him on, and I don't know. It was one of those things that didn't work.
He said it drove you nuts.
It did. It did.
And then,
shouldn't admit that.
And then we had Jerry Van Dyke on, who, of course, you performed in Vegas with. And
right.
He said also that he was considered as a Barney replacement on that show.
Well, he was considered as a regular. One time, and we did a whole show with him. Jerry is the best comedian I've ever seen.
He's a laugh a minute, I'll tell you.
He's the best comedian I've ever seen. I used to watch him every single night from the wings.
And there was a guy in TV that had a lot of tough breaks. They couldn't find a show for him until Coach came along.
He just envied his brother so much. And Dick's a nice guy. Wasn't Dick's fault. But he finally scored, and now he's working all the time, Jerry.
Yep. How did Matlock come about?
How that came about. You know, Brandon Tartikoff was a bright and wonderful man. And I was offered 5 days on a movie called Fatal Vision.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lawyer. I didn't want to do it, but I did it. Glad I did it now. Because after Brandon saw that, he called Fred and he said, see if you can get Griffith to play a lawyer on a series. And so that's how it happened.
And a lot, 9 years
it lasted? 9 years, yeah.
I mean, that was longer than you did the Andy Griffith show.
Yeah, I quit the Andy Griffith show. I thought it was a big deal. And also, After Don left, the show became more like a regular situation comedy.
It did.
And also it went to color, and that made it more like a regular situation comedy. And I felt like it was kind of starting to fall apart, even though it was number one for its last year.
Yeah. And I guess even when RFD came on, that still stayed in the top 10.
Yeah.
People loved that stuff,
yeah,
Andy. They loved it.
Well, it was number six when Fred canceled it. But I felt it wasn't up to snuff, and it bothered me. And so I quit, and I went over to Universal, and I made one picture. I think of it every now and then. Leo Wasserman. What's his name that runs Universal?
Oh, geez, I don't know. They don't talk to us.
Me either anymore. Anyway, I went up there. I said, why do you want me to do this? He said, he wanted to sign me for 5 years. He said, I think you got 10 more good years in you, and I want 5 of them. So I did one little picture called Angel in My Pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know what to do with it. It was a good picture. But the comedy, you know, they didn't know what to do with it. And right. So I asked out. And they let me out. So that's how it happened.
Andy Griffith, I want to thank you so much for coming on and spending a little time with us.
A real pleasure.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. All afternoon. We like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. On all afternoon. Oh,
business of taking lives and saving virginity? Or is it the other way around? F*** it. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, that was so good.
Oh, my God.
Listening to Andy Griffith.
And we did it at the perfect time where it was still fresh in our mind watching a face in the crowd.
And
I can't stress that enough.
Everybody,
I know it's an old
movie,
but man, is that good.
Everybody should watch that movie. If you're in, and I know they listen, if you're in the radio business, you should watch that movie. And if you love the primetime news shows and the pundits that talk to you every night on both sides of the aisle.
And politics.
And watch the movie. It is so far ahead of its time. And it's about a guy played by Andy Griffith, a hayseed.
Who's a sociopath.
Who's a sociopath and hits the big time because he, quote unquote, can identify with the common man.
No, he can't.
And he can't. He is a sociopath. He is somebody that goes all the way up to him going from a radio host, TV host, to wanting to get into politics. And he is exposed for what he is. And the kind old Lonesome Rhodes, who everybody loves, is really just a snake in the grass, a liar, a sociopath, a psychopath. And it all comes out at the end of the movie. And all the people that are around him that wanted to help him, that cared about him.
Because they believe the image that he was consciously projecting.
An unbelievable movie. A lot of great actors in that. Walter Matthau was in that movie. And we came upon it, again, as Haney said, it was like in the 50s it was made. We discovered it probably in the late 80s or early 90s when it was on video.
Mm-hmm.
And it made its rounds around the radio station.
It puts me in mind of something, and it's funny because I think it was Keith Olbermann that coined it. He's got his own issues. But with Keith Olbermann, I think he really believes what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
It may be bat-ass insane, but to him it makes sense. I think he's genuine. But when Glenn Beck was starting out, and he still does it to this day, he calls him Glenn Lonesome Rhodes Beck.
Yep.
And that is your prime example. That guy is a complete snake oil salesman.
And we said it back then. He is. It could be about Glenn Beck. It could be. Where he can throw on the waterworks when he wants. On cue.
And he's an old radio guy.
Yeah, and an old radio guy.
Morning Zoo.
Yep. Do yourself a favor.
And
watch the movie.
And I don't know if you've paid attention to him. I haven't paid much. But again, it's that sociopathic quality where it's, which way is the wind blowing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, orange man bad. That seems to be a winner. I'm going to go with that and show that I'm above politics and start wearing sweaters.
Yep.
And then when it became clear that Trump was really popular, then I made a mistake.
Yep.
You know, he's doing a really good job. And then when it looked like the Mueller report's just about to come out, Nope. He's a bad man again. He is just, good God.
Write it down. A face in the crowd.
There is nothing more pathetic, even when people get away with it, because you and I, we have different eyes than your regular guy. We've seen too much. And when you see someone like that, that's just cynical and taking advantage of their audience, it makes me feel sick to my stomach.
Yep.
Nothing worse than a phony.
You got that right, and we've known a lot of them.
It's amazing we made it in this business.
Yeah.
Because that's how you make it.
Yep.
Honestly, that's how you make it.
Yep.
Well, we shouldn't be here.
We went 36 years in the business. We went against the grain the whole
and
time.
And how many times have we been in serious trouble because we told the truth and did what we believed?
Yep. Gotta take a break right now. You're gonna hear a Rolling Stones promo coming up.
Yeah, we welcome them.
Two times today to get qualified for the Rolling Stones tickets in Miami. You're gonna have once with us, once later tonight with Rob Show. From what I understand, the midday guy. I don't even want to say his name. Part time. A little upset that he didn't get a chance to give some away.
What?
Because program director said, two chances to win later. But I guess he was a little...
I
didn't tell you anything. I don't want to get on anybody's bad side.
Placeholder is upset he hasn't been able to promote himself.
I don't want to get on anyone's bad side. I just catch
the vibe. I don't care about it anymore. You never want to get on anybody's bad side. I don't care. It's inevitable anyway. It's going to happen.
Did I get on somebody's bad side?
Well, me. I get on people's bad side and I don't even know why.
We'll be back.
And you'll come to me and go, yeah, you're right. You're on their bad side. And I'll go, what are you talking about? I don't even know that person.
Stan is stirring things up.
What did I do? I'm sorry. Am I right or wrong here? Hold it. Did I read a memo that said...
Did placeholder complain that his temporary show wasn't getting enough publicity?
Yeah.
Enough promotion.
No.
Did you explain to him, make sure, because you are not getting people qualified for the Rolling Stones?
No.
Well, he did yesterday. So
he did?
Yes.
Oh, that shouldn't happen.
He did yesterday.
That shouldn't happen.
Rob's turn today. Stan and Haney's turn.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's because Rob actually works here. But
Yes. Oh, God. I don't want to get on anybody's bad side.
You never have.
You guys are pouring it on today, aren't you? Pouring it on.
Matt, you've known me a long time.
Yeah.
How many people do you suppose I'm on their bad side?
Haney hits and runs. That's what he does. Stan goes after it hour after. Well, just boom, and then he's gone.
Stan knows how. It's because Stan is a better boxer than I am, and he knows how to work the body. I just know how to throw haymakers. I'm not a boxer. I'm Butterbean.
You're a knockout man, no doubt.
What were you going to ask
him? King of the three rounders.
What were you going to ask him?
About the placeholder?
No, about yourself. You said, what do people want to think about
you?
Oh,
well, you've known me for many years.
Yes, absolutely.
Just as a guess, how many people have I ended up on their bad side and I may not even know who they are?
Haney, you intimidate just walking down the hallway.
But I mean, I don't.
Way it was. When I met you, I was intimidated by you until I got to know you and realized
that
and you're a very likable dude. But you do have an intimidating presence. I think part of it is the voice, and just kind of
I've
never done anything to you.
You're a gentle giant. You know, I love you, Haney.
And we used to talk about
Matt
this
Mangus is one of my favorite people.
I know that.
Right here,
He's not the stop and chatter. You don't see Haney go and want to do a stop and chatter.
So you thought I was a jerk.
It's all business with Haney.
I didn't
think you were a jerk. I said I was intimidated by you because I was in awe.
You know what, Haney? Back in 1987? 1987, I thought you were a jerk.
I thought you were a jerk. You were a snake in the grass.
K-Rock has your tickets to see the world's greatest rock and roll band. Cool weekends in the afternoon. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. We're going to have the grab bag for you here in just a second.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to scare Matt.
You know, let me explain something about you.
It's not important.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Because oftentimes you wonder and you say the words. That's the first time I've heard them. What did I do to them?
I don't do anything to them.
That's the thing. There are people here that you haven't said a word to, and nobody's saying you have to, but that you haven't said a word to since they've been here, and they've probably been working here 2-3 years. Then there are the ones that I'm totally in agreement with you, mainly in the sales department, where they come and, you know, what's the use of making friends with them? They're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But you are steady and true. You're not. And he'll say, you know, Haney really doesn't like me. Well, why? Because, well, he doesn't talk to me. Well, he doesn't talk to me. Very rare. And you know this, and I think it's a lot of it's habit with you and I. We don't talk that much when the microphones aren't on.
Anytime we do that, we're ripping the audience
off.
That's
right. So we don't say it. So it doesn't. And I have to go and explain. That's just the way he is. He's not a stop and chatter. He's not somebody that wants to talk about something you did this weekend. That he's not being rude, because if he was rude, he'd tell you, I don't care what you did this weekend. That doesn't affect me. And so that's, they get a misperception of you. I'll tell you right now, there are people, when you used to, back in the old days, throw little get-togethers at your house, we'd barbecue and have some friends over, you, and I've said it, you are probably one of the most gracious hosts that would ever throw a house party, a gathering of friends that I know. You're making sure everybody's comfortable. They've got a drink, ice in there, some food to eat. Put you in the best chair I got. Whatever you want to listen to, music. You're phenomenal. But people don't see that side of you at work, and I don't blame you.
You know, I just got a visual of you on a Thanksgiving years ago, sitting on my leather couch, as happy as can be.
Yep. And let me...
I don't remember who else was there, though.
I don't remember either. I just remember... I remember that day, and it was Thanksgiving. It was after eating, and you insisted that I see this episode of South Park that you thought was hilarious.
Was it?
Yeah. grab bag. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. You got to see this episode. I've seen South Park.
It's a cartoon. I didn't care about it.
It's when I think it was the teacher was riding that bike.
Oh, yeah. When they wouldn't say what Segway was.
Yes.
They just called it It.
Yeah.
Mr. Garrison got a hold of one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So there, I just want to set the record straight, and so that you know.
That's a great memory on you.
Oh, yeah, I got a memory like a trap. Long term. Short term, I don't remember what happened yesterday.
That was a good day, surprisingly so.
Yeah, I know. I've got the feed.
Just set me up for disappointment, though.
No!
Because once the guest left.
Well, yeah, then you're back to you. I've got the feed of this. A British tabloid, the Daily Star, claims that Kim Jong-un executed one of his generals by throwing him into a piranha-filled fish tank.
Oh, yeah, he's got one.
Yeah, well, I got it. There it is. That's it. I picked up the shortwave transmission of him actually.
Good job.
Yep.
J.U. More music, less freedom. Hold on a sec. Just had to quickly throw one of my general into piranha fish tank. He no listen to me. So, America, how it going? Especially with those tests with China. How they working out? You a terrible country. Call the one you on air.
Almighty leader, great job killing disobedient general. Please tell us more ways you will kill those who disobey. And can I please have some food?
Silence! Food is for soldiers. How will I kill you? I will strap you face down to sensual massage table. Have Robert Kraft insert his 6th Super Bowl trophy into your end zone. You're scared? You should be. America, come visit North Korea. We need more fish food. Goodbye, America.
You know, that's not him.
It's not?
No, that's somebody impersonating him. We know what he sounds like.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like that. Hello.
Hello. Oh, Father's Day is this weekend. Well, dads and grads is this weekend. And our favorite girl has a dilemma.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
I have no idea what to get my dad for Father's Day. The man has everything, including a designer carrying case for his barbecue utensils. Even his stuff has stuff. A couple years ago, I bought him a golf shirt, which he never wore. I swear I thought the letters LPGA stood for Let's Play Golf Again. The dog leash was a good idea, until I found out his dog is out in the garden under the tomato plants. I could give him a picture. Wait, a picture of me! All by myself. No, that's a 24-hour reminder of why he doesn't have any grandchildren. Okay, so it's either a tie or booze. Or maybe a tie soaked in booze. Oh, I can probably find one of those under my sister's bed. No, that would mean the guys she goes home with actually have jobs. Ugh. If only shopping for a father was as easy as becoming one.
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
This is no joke. This is on the market. You can buy it. Kraft is releasing a new product for kids called salad frosting.
Introducing Kraft salad frosting. Ingredients, Kraft ranch dressing, and deception. Is it frosting? No. Is it wrong? It's not important. But it will get your kids to eat their salad and veggies. Kids, look, frosting for salad.
I wonder how much money that person made.
Coming up with that idea?
Yeah.
A lot.
How come my ideas don't monetize?
Because...
Well, I give them away.
Well, not only, there's more to it than that.
Oh, there is.
Yes. There's you with an idea. Pretty damn good one, most times. That requires... a satellite of people to sink
a network,
in millions to see it happen. Now, somebody who works for Kraft, and he comes up with a bonehead idea like salad frosting, he's got the backing of a giant conglomerate that will go and sink as much money into it as possible. And if it doesn't work, it's no skin off their nose. There's more millions where that came from.
See, the problem is, what I'm best at, there is only one job in the world that would work. And Elon Musk already has
it.
Where he came up with an idea early that made him millions and billions. And now he can say, yes, I plan on living on Mars in 2035. And oh, by the way, it's too long a drive to work. So I'm going to con the city into letting me drill a tunnel from my house to where I work.
See?
And it happens.
Yep.
I can't make that happen.
No.
I would like to. Oh, damn flying cars.
Don't kid yourself about the power. You know, they people come out here, Stan and Haney, every day. Well, you know, no. It's the Beasleys that run this company. Don't kid yourself when a late-night talk show host comes on and says something and you think he runs the place. No, it's CBS. It's NBC. Same thing with local TV. There was a weatherman in Illinois who criticized on the air his station's use of code red storm warnings. It happened last Wednesday, where if there was storm warnings happening on the screen, it turns code red. It panics people. It panics. Old people start getting, oh my God, what do I got to do? Run for the hills? And he told him, he went on the air and he said, this is ridiculous. Here's what he said.
We had one of those. Great. I don't think he was a meteorologist. He was a forecaster. And when we'd get hurricanes and tropical storms, he'd just, this will be a rain event.
Yeah. Well, this guy did it on the air. And he basically said, this is a bunch of bull crap. He hasn't been on the air since.
Code Red, it's not perfect. A lot of people not very happy with this over the last few months, since thousands of comments on social media, letters to the editor, frequent calls to local talk radio shows. And as far as the Code Red name itself goes, we get that too. I certainly do. It's certainly, when you hear Code Red, you think, as they say, the feces is about to hit the fan. It's not us. This is a corporate initiative, the Code Red Alert. And behind the scenes, many of us have tried to dissuade it for the last few months to try something else that's less controversial to the viewers. And it continues to be controversial.
He's gone.
With no explanation.
Now, social media.
No explanation?
No, he hasn't been on the air since. Social media is supporting him. Viewers are saying it's about time somebody said something. But, you...
Who owns him?
Let me see. Rob, find out who owns that station. And we can find out. Let me see if it says anywhere in here. The station, however, did... change. They changed to the Code Red thing to a weather warning because he went and was taken off the air. Some businesses have pulled their advertising, saying, "Oh, come on, you know it was making people panic."
Yeah, and that's a hell of a thing to get disappeared over.
Yeah, who owns them?
Sinclair Broadcasting Group.
Okay.
Very powerful.
Yep.
With local TV.
Yep, they are. Yeah, Sinclair's, yep. Well, they took him off.
And for the most part, they seem to be making some pretty good decisions. I'm surprised.
Here's a job that's for Dave. This is where Dave the Waterman can succeed in business.
Right on.
There's a guy in Canada whose job it is to scare away geese.
He'd be great at that.
He has a job in an oil field, and the Canadian geese come by and start disturbing the area. This guy's only job is to use a megaphone to scare off the geese. Here he is at work.
You think you're better than me? I see you! Jimmy, don't do it! Get out! Hey! Get out! Fire away!
That's what he does for a living. That's
He's not
job.
Very good at it.
No.
You can't talk to them like they're people. You got to talk to them like they're Boyds. By the way, I don't know what was going on last night, but the Boyds was going crazy.
Oh.
I heard the regular owls were going nuts. And then somebody must be a new Boyd. Maybe it's one that somebody bought, like a tropical bird, started yelling at the owls, and it's surrounded by owls who are all yelling back at them.
Oh, the birds, just because they're Boyds doesn't mean they all get along. You get a mockingbird, and he'll go after an eagle. I saw a mockingbird this morning go after a crane. Crane's flying by and goes by.
Minding its own business?
Minding its own beeswax.
Must have got too close to a nest.
Yep. Cleveland, this is ridiculous. Cleveland had a rare earthquake yesterday morning. Doesn't happen very often. It jammed the 911 lines for people just inquiring. It jammed the 911 lines up so much that it prevented people with real emergencies from calling in, just so that people can go and ask 911 what the hell happened.
Men's on the lake police, this is is Allie.
Yeah, not emergency. Hey, did we just experience a small earthquake?
Yeah, it had to have been an earthquake, probably off the lake.
Okay, yeah, it's just that everything kind of started shaking for a second there, and I'm like, huh.
We got it, too.
Okay, wow, talk about making your heart jump, wow.
Right.
Yeah, call 911.
By any chance, did we have an earthquake in
this
area?
Yes, we did. It was just off the lake.
Scared me half to death.
What's going
okay,
on?
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's a blaze.
There was just a huge explosion. I mean, our whole house shook.
We don't know what's going on. We felt like it's an earthquake.
Yeah. Here's some advice for you. When you call 911, if you must, don't make the first thing you say, yes, this is a non-emergency. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm calling the emergency line and telling you quite frankly, I understand that I'm abusing 911 right now because this is a non-emergency. Having said that, how are you?
Yeah.
Earthquake? Is that what it was?
Well, thanks. Appreciate it. I've never seen this in sports. Golden State Warrior, the Golden State Warriors GM lost it emotionally at the press conference, having to explain that Kevin Durant, who came back after nine-game absence, had a new injury. They say it could be the Achilles and may not be around to finish the playoffs. And the general manager of the Warriors got to the microphone.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it.
Come on. I don't
believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand.
You know what?
Hold on.
What the?
Wait a second. I gotta do something.
Well, somebody ought to.
Let me try it this way.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know
champ
the extent of it.
Champ,
I don't believe champ. There's anybody to blame, but I understand this world, and if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department, and to tell you something about Kevin Durant loves to play basketball,
NBA.
And the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong. He's one of the most misunderstood people. He's a good teammate, a good person. It's not fair. I'm lucky to know him.
Is there nobody with a shepherd's hook that can just...
How pathetic.
Should be fired.
Yes, but he's the general manager. The owner has to fire him. Oh, my God.
What the...
Peter Mug North. We'll be back.
96 K-Rock. A non-stop thrill ride that'll keep you on the edge of your seat. Coupled with a tender love story that will leave you openly weeping.
What the hell?
If we could just pull that off, we'd be friggin' rich. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney here in about 25 minutes. Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law will be joining us, taking your phone calls. If you'd like to right now, text us with a question for Mike. Feel free to do so. I can't tell you how many times Mike comes in here and then he leaves at just before 4 o'clock, and then the questions and the texts come in and he doesn't get a chance to answer them because you got him in too late. If you want to go and text your question to Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law right now, feel free to do so, and he will be taking your phone calls in about another 20-25 minutes or so. Later on today, Stan's Name That Movie, and one of the prizes up for grabs is the Rolling Stones Bridges to Bremen DVD, which will get you qualified for Stones tickets. But right now, if you'd like to call us, 277-9600, maybe pick up a prize, Bob Cousaw, Pewter Mug, Brian Kilmeade, maybe tickets to the Disrupt Festival, Bam's Restaurant, Subway, Sunshine Ace Hardware, 277-9600.
You know, it's that time of year again,
it
Stan.
It sure is, Haney.
I think it's time to bring back an old Stan and Haney tradition for this time of year.
What's that? Uh, mighty, mighty hot. The great John Fogerty, one of the greatest songs he's ever done.
Way out here in the cotton.
Mighty, mighty hot.
If you're outside, you can feel this.
Yeah.
Sweat rolling off of the shovel. Digging in the devil's boneyard. Sure like a cool drink of water. Soft rag to soothe my face. Sure like a woman to talk to in this place. There's 110, 110 in the shade.
And that's mighty, mighty hot.
Yeah. 277-9600. I got a little thing from the local beat. When these things pop out at me, I get notifications sometimes on my phone. And I say, well, is this for real? And it's real. Dateline Collier County, Naples. A homeless Naples man is facing a trespassing charge after behaving erratically outside a McDonald's restaurant. According to the Collier County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to reports of a male taking his clothes off, dancing strangely at the restaurant on Tamiami Trail East near Bayshore Drive. This happened on Sunday evening.
And where is it?
Naples, off of Bayshore, or near Bayshore, at the McDonald's.
Oh, my God.
Witnesses, and here's a shocker, witnesses believe the man must have been on drugs.
Oh, you don't say.
And stated that it looked as though the male was trying to have relations with a railing.
Oh. I'll have what he's having.
Deputies recognized the man as 63-year-old John F. Morgan.
Are you kidding me?
Whom they have had a... whom they've had contact with in
the
past.
He has an account with them.
Yes. He has a history of trespassing arrests and had been warned the night before, stay away from the restaurant. Morgan was placed...
What is going on if you're 63 acting like that?
There he is. Morgan was placed under arrest and charged with trespass on property... Other than
when you've been
structure.
Banned from the McDonald's,
yeah.
Man.
And you're trying to hump a railing nude. And you're 63 years old. Mighty, mighty hot.
Pain in the shade.
Mighty, mighty hot. 277-9600.
Did you see the story out of Indian Harbor Beach?
Our old stomping grounds?
21-year-old little cutie. And the Daily Mail being the Daily Mail, they were kind enough to think of us and include a nice bikini shot of her.
Oh, nice.
Tight body,
yeah,
on this girl.
Yeah, what was she doing? Mighty, mighty hot.
Well, she's 21, and she and her boyfriend have been together for 3 years.
Oh, that's nice. Good, steady relationship.
They are... or were cohabitating, and it was evidently an incident of some sort where I guess the boyfriend became aware of certain text messages on her phone that may have caused him to suspect some infidelity. According to the police report, she showed her displeasure with his interest in her private text messages by grasping the sack. Ah. And I looked at the bikini pic.
Yeah.
You know, hot girl, she likes to have her nails done.
Uh-huh.
She grasped the sack so hard, she drew blood.
Oh, they're capable of anything. We're on the air. Get out of the room.
Thank you, brother.
277-9600.
Yeah. If he could find a bikini shot.
Yeah. Rob, see, just sniff around.
There it is. Right there.
Zoom into that for me. Let me see what she looks like.
Now, you're telling me you couldn't be tempted with that?
Oh,
yes, you would.
Very, very. That's mighty, mighty hot. And it's nice.
And so you land a girlfriend like that and then end up with bleeding from the sack.
Capable of anything. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, Stan. Mark, this is Gary down in Naples.
Hey, Gary. How are you, brother?
Gary.
All right, brother. Hey, yeah, it is hot, too.
Mighty, mighty hot.
Mighty hot. But anyway, yesterday, Mark was playing some music by Hank Williams.
Yes, sir.
And it just, I realized there's only so many chords. But boy, did it sound like the Battle of New Orleans by Johnny Horton.
Well, it is.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Well, that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Yeah, he just put his words over it.
2779600. Was that a musical instrument in her hand, Rob? What is that? Oh, no.
That's her 21st birthday.
Oh, that's a 21st birthday. Looked like she might have been holding like a bassoon.
Now, you're looking at this at 21 and in a bikini.
Yeah.
Imagine the damage she will do before her looks catch up with her character.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, guys. This is Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, you guys talked about that story yesterday about Iran and the sex changes and all that stuff. But it brought back a memory when I was in college. I went to school with a guy from Saudi Arabia. A guy came from money, you know, oil, multimillion, well-educated, whole nine. But it just gives you a little perspective. I forgot how the conversation came up, but homosexuality came up. And calm as cool as can be, just looked at me and says, oh, no, there's no homosexuality
in
Saudi Arabia. That's a disease of the West. And I'm just like you're just like, oh, my God.
Oh, and they'll make sure of it. They'll make sure of it. 2779600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Brandy, the girl that won $1,000.
Hey, Brandy. I figured you'd be in Indiana by now.
No,
not yet. We're fixing to.
Oh, I thought you... Didn't you just email us a couple of weeks back that you were already getting ready to go?
No, we had something coming up, so we had to do that first.
Brandy, admit it. No money to go to Indiana. You and your husband spent it all.
No, we still got it. We're fixing to go up there. My old man's an old dirt track. Flat track.
Oh, kick ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to go up there and do that. That's what the money's for.
Hell yeah.
Good girl.
I just want to call you guys and say thank you again.
You're welcome, sweetheart. And thank you for listening to the show.
96K Rock.
Right on, baby.
That Brandy, she's a fine girl.
Yeah. When I was young, I spent my summer day laying on the track.
Do you know this song right here?
What about it?
It's from the Center Field album.
Yeah.
I played this. It was a country hit.
I believe it. Big news for CCR fans. With the 50th anniversary of Woodstock coming up, they didn't authorize it before. Coming out soon, the entire CCR performance at Woodstock. I think they did 11 songs at Woodstock and nobody's heard them other than bootlegs and stuff. All crystal clear CCR at Woodstock.
We're lucky to have them. I just saw it today because they've downplayed it. But in 2008, a warehouse at Universal in California.
Yeah.
They won't even say the number, but this warehouse caught on fire, and this warehouse housed, I think it was like over 500,000 original masters. Elton John, Buddy Holly, Bing Crosby.
Didn't they have it in some any kind of fireproof thing?
No, it burned to the ground, and they say nobody will ever know the true damage because they've kept it so quiet. They go, it was everybody from Bing Crosby to Eminem lost these masters.
Oh, my God.
And I guess all hell is breaking loose behind the scenes, but nobody can say anything because of all the lawsuits. They say we may not even know what we lost. Elton John, all
kinds
of stuff.
That's insane. Speaking of lawsuits, Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law in studio next. If you want to talk to him, phone lines will be open for the back half of the 3 o'clock hour to talk to Mike. He's a lawyer. He can help you. 277-9600. He'll also answer your questions if you throw them up on the Absolute Law text line.
Can we see that bikini shot again, please?
277-9600.
No harm in looking.
Mike Chiannopoulos
from
Absolute Law.
You see something like that?
Yeah.
Especially if you yourself are you can't help yourself.
You can't. The eye sees what the eye sees.
And then you end up, when you're a man.
With a cut scrotum.
When you're a man bleeding from the crotch, something has gone horribly wrong.
We'll be back.
As we celebrate our 75th anniversary in showbiz, we'd like to thank the weak-minded among you. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. I just knew somebody was holding Mike Chiannopoulos up in the hallway. It never fails. Mike comes in, and as he's making his way back to the studio, somebody's always stopping you, aren't they?
I didn't even get in the building this time. I stopped right outside the door. But it's nice. It's nice to be able to help somebody. You know?
Absolutely. And that's why you're here. 277-9600. If you want to talk to Mike Chiannopoulos, he's an attorney at law, esquire, lawyer. If you've got family issues, child support, alimony,
sea
divorce.
Sea captain.
And a sea captain.
Celestial navigator.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Navigator.
A veteran.
Stan and Haney intelligence asset.
Former judge.
In the Caribbean.
If you want to talk to him, 277-9600.
Well, Mike runs for us what we like to call Southcom.
The Stan and Haney Southcom.
Yep.
Everything good?
It's wonderful.
Absolute Law text line had a bunch of stuff already waiting for you, so we'll get to those. And if you want to call in, 277-9600.
I think it's worth acknowledging. I hope you'll have it on the grab bag tomorrow. John Stewart.
Yes.
At Congress, just made a great, great speech. He was there as the representative for the 9/11 first responders going to Congress to make sure that the funding continues for all of these first responders that have come down with all these maladies from that toxic soup they were in.
Right.
And he was absolutely outraged. Because they were supposed to be in front of a committee that consists of 14 congressmen.
Yep.
Only five showed up.
To show up, yeah.
There were more first responders behind
one
him than
side
there were
of the,
listening.
One side of the room is packed, standing room only, and on the congressional side, there's nobody there.
Wow.
And he made a 9-minute speech that just excoriated them.
Yeah.
That's a big word, Haney. What does that mean?
Ripped him a new one?
Yeah. All right.
I'm not that smart.
What are you talking about? You're smart. You passed the bar, didn't you?
Yeah. By the grace of God.
Hey, let me ask you this before we get to questions.
Is excoriated a big word?
I don't know.
I didn't think it was that.
I know what you meant, but I wouldn't normally use the
word.
It
all depends on where you grew up right there.
Can you?
I grew up in Daytona Beach, mother.
Can you?
Shut the front door.
Can you? Yeah. You know how, like, when you're studying for the SATs, you can get, and they used to give it to you in a little booklet. I'm sure it's online now. But when I took the SATs, when you were getting ready to, they had a little booklet that you could take, and
pre-course, pre-exam.
Can you get your hands on a pre-bar exam, and I can take it, and then we'll see. You can see how well I did.
Yeah, but you don't know all the precedents.
Not a pre-bar exam, but you can get previous bar exams.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not
what are the
not
questions
anything
like?
Prospective.
Yeah, give me one question.
Well, there's different sections.
Some
of them are multiple choice.
Right?
Some of them are multiple choice.
Okay.
And some of them are two- and three-tiered multiple choice. So they ask you, they give you two pages of facts to read, and then the question is stated, and then the answers are that are possible, A, B, C, and D in all of them, except for A is Roman numerals above 1 and 2, but not 3. Geez,
you could Christmas tree
Roman numerals.
You could.
Exactly. So, and
get lucky.
And so that's why it becomes difficult. And then some of it is essay writing.
Right. But so there's not one typical question that could be asked because they're very in-depth.
Well, I guess
takes a lot of
What are the
work.
Different portions? I mean, what are the...
Contracts. So there's always... Contracts, torts, property is always tested on the state side, and the other staples, legal research and writing and constitutional law maybe. But there's like 8 different subjects that can be tested, and there's only time to test 5. And so everybody studying for the bar exam.
And you never know which one.
That's right. They're always trying to accurately guess which 5. Well, they have statistics by these bar review people that you pay thousands of dollars into to prepare you. And the statistics will say, well, this was only tested once in the last 10 years, so the probability
so
is high. Right? And they said there was 0% probability of my bar exam having family law on it because of the just been tested last cycle, and that was the first time in the history of the state. Well, lo and behold, the very first question on my bar exam was
family law.
Which nobody really looked at studying because the statistics
they were told otherwise.
Right. Well, and that was the statistical probability, but that doesn't mean it's accurately, you know, going to happen that time. So anyway, it's a difficult process.
All right. If you can find a sample question for me, get what you want.
I want to talk to you a second about domestic violence before we move on, because this has been a big thing in the last 2 weeks. I've had a lot of this going on. And last week I talked about what a great job the Lee County Sheriffs did.
Yep.
And they did. And I also want to talk this week about, you know, if you're having that kind of problem, okay, you don't have to stay in that situation and be abused or allow your children to be abused. There's the ACT shelter out there. There's all kinds of resources. My office has touch with people that are therapists that will help you on a sliding scale, PhDs and all. So 239, ask Mike. If you're having that kind of problem, you can't afford a lawyer, that's okay. We'll get you to some professionals that can get you some other help.
What if you are a male in that situation where it's a different deal?
Because it happens.
Because, you know, if you're a male, chances are you can reasonably defend yourself from it.
Oh, no, then you'll be accused of being the aggressor
if
you do that.
But it doesn't change, you know, the intent. You know,
well,
I'm going to sleep. Am I going to wake up in the morning?
In 27 years of being a lawyer, I've done probably the last 20-plus years, I've had, you know, domestic violence cases in my practice. And I will tell you that only once in all that time did I see a situation in which the male was the victim. It does indeed happen.
Well, there was a guy, I think it was in Winter.
But it does happen.
I know it was in Florida. It may have been Winter Park. The man was 65. The wife was 45. They've been together 20 years. And right before the incident, one of his buddies said to him, "You all right with that crazy wife of yours?" He goes, "Yeah, long as I remember to lock the steak knives up." Guess what happened to him?
He died of a steak knife.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Well, and I've had cases where a dentist was missing and then later found, and the paramour said she didn't do it, but it turns out she did. So, yeah, I mean, there's messy domestic violence stuff out there. And that's what I'm telling you. Guys, anytime a man puts his hand around a woman's throat, the statistics say that she has over a 90% probability of dying at his hand if she doesn't get out of that relationship. It takes, on average, 7 times for a victim to leave a predator. I mean, these aren't my numbers. These are the nationwide numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, listen, I've seen so much of it, and it seems to be a spike here lately. If you're having that kind of situation, there are resources. Even if you can't afford to hire me, call me at 239-ASK-MIKE. Let us direct you to the resources that are available that can help you.
I don't understand that mentality.
I don't understand it at all. But Mike, you know this too. I have my degrees in psychology, and we had to take courses in this stuff, and we had to go and I'm a firm believer of this. Whether you're a sexual predator, whether you're an abuser, you don't change. If you're the wife and you say, "Well, he apologized to me. He just smacked me once or twice.
I deserved it.
He's okay." Yeah. Sometimes they blame themselves.
Right.
They will always. I had a professor that said, "Think of it as a rat, a mouse. You can train the mouse to go on the wheel. You can train him to eat food out of your hand. You corner that mouse and have him to a point where he feels that he can't escape.
That's the programming.
Then, yeah, because he's trained. Mm-hmm. He's programmed to act this way. But corner that mouse and he'll revert back to what he does.
Well, you know, here's the problem. Is that a lot of people, and unfortunately some judges, although we're very fortunate here in Lee County, we have judges that do understand the process. Before somebody is going to be an abuse victim and tolerate some forms of abuse that the rest of us would say, oh my God, that's horrible, and they would tolerate it, is because the predator first gains, obtains, and maintains psychological control.
They don't come up and introduce themselves that way.
No, I say to these people all the time, okay, close your eyes. Don't tell me. Don't answer the question out loud. Answer it only in your head, how your first date with this person ended. Got that in your head? Yeah. All right. It ended nicely. Yeah. Or, of course, you wouldn't see him again, and then you wouldn't be where you're at. Yeah. Okay, now reverse that ending. He slaps you upside the head and says, B, I'm going to be back here tomorrow morning at 7:30, and you better have my breakfast ready, or I'm going to whoop your butt. Now, what would you have done? You would have called the police and had him arrested for hitting you. But why do you tolerate it now, but you wouldn't 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because he has convinced you. It starts like this. Oh, Haney, I was on my way past the cleaners today when I was out, and I thought I'd bring your shirts home because you wouldn't have to go get them. And she's thinking, I deserve a pat on the head like Odie. Right? No, no, no. What she gets is Haney going, you know I don't like my collars pressed open. Take those back. And any normal person would say, take them back, your dang self. Here you go. But she'll go, oh, well, I'm sorry.
And blame herself. And
right.
Well, now, Haney, I like my shirts the way I like
know,
them, man.
I know that. That's
why
that's well,
you getting in my business, man.
It's not a problem for Haney because he doesn't wear shirts with collars.
That's right. I've seen him sometimes. Let's go to the absolute law.
Why'd you make me the bad guy? Why you gotta make me the bad guy, Mike?
You're right in eye shot of him. 277-9600.
And Stan's the one with the free felony pass,
that's right,
too.
I got it in my back pocket.
What's up?
How come I don't have a free felony?
Just not feeling the love, Haney?
ahoy, Mike. This guy has got this question, and it's the same thing that goes on at my condo right now with the association. This guy is going through it right now. Mike, can my homeowners association demand a key to my townhome for the purpose of inspections and emergencies? I would guess not, and told them so.
Inspections on a property you own.
So did my neighbors, but the commandos are being persistent. I had the exact same thing. I'm a condo owner, and the association.
You're not renting. You own it.
And the association says, we want a copy of your key on file. And I know for a fact, whomever it is that might be the management of the condo, have gone and brought people into the condo to inspect, you know, for cracks or stuff like that. Do they have a right to take a key and have access to your unit and you own it?
It is not a, quote, legal right provided by the legislature as a statute. It is usually, however, in the covenants and the contracts that you sign when you buy the property. So, Stan, if you went back and looked at the documents you received when you bought your condo, I think you would find that that's a requirement in those documents.
No, it was an amendment.
Okay. If it was a duly passed amendment and properly ratified, done according to the requirements of the documents, then you're still bound by it.
You're bound by it, and you have to give them a key.
Yeah, it's a contract, and they could go to court and enforce that contract. But think about
this. But you buy a property, and then over the years that you live there, they can just change whatever they want?
Well, it has to be done by a majority and all that stuff.
Yeah, so, but your vote doesn't count because you don't want it.
No, here's how it is.
What you're
you get a proxy.
The parties can do whatever they want in an election. Of course, it's an election. And you know what? It's subject to a vote, typically, depending on the documents that you're talking about.
And you know when they have
that vote? But here's the important
thing. 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday.
Right, when nobody can be there. I get it. It's typical politics. But listen, here's the important thing that a lot of people are missing. When you get fired up about giving up a key to your condo. Okay, living in a condo myself for the past decade, there have been times when somebody's toilet on the fourth floor was running, and there were snowbirds, and they weren't there, and they hadn't shut off the water to their unit entirely.
I remember that.
And you know what? Somebody had to be able to get in
there.
Right. Not only to protect the people underneath, but the people who own that condo were protected because they got in there, they got it dried out, they got fans in there.
And that makes perfect sense.
All right, so, but if the condo association didn't have a key, what would have happened?
Then it would have been major damage.
I've also had somebody who, an elderly person, had an emergency, and nobody could get in because they didn't have a key. Well, guess what? The condo association was on the way over there when the ambulance was on the way over there and had that door unlocked and ready to go, and they didn't have to bust it open. Okay, so there are some valid purposes. I understand that has to be balanced against
Stan,
everything in law is a balance against one thing.
Stan
against
feels
another.
That they like to just go into his place.
I know
and look
they
around.
Do. I know they do.
They look in his underwear drawer typically.
I
know.
Take souvenirs. Mike, Absolute Law text line. Mike, I haven't paid alimony to my ex-wife in over 10 years.
Ouch.
She did a lot of moving around and never let me know where she moved to. Do I still owe her back alimony? If he couldn't find her.
Well, stop talking about it.
Depends on the state. If you're assuming the state of Florida, yes, you owe her that back alimony. Now there's going to be a statute of limitations that starts to run and et cetera that we can talk about more if you want to call me at 239-ASK-MIKE for a free phone consult. But
so truly, if you ignore something long enough, it does go away.
It potentially could go away, right. Usually that other person who's owed the money doesn't let you ignore it that long.
Right. I would think it would be, if she's receiving alimony, it would be her obligation, if she wants the checks to keep coming, to let him know where she's at so he can get her to the checks.
I don't know, man. What if she's already working that moneymaker and she's got something better going on?
Yeah.
This guy's not paying, but hey, when guy number two or three or four gets rid of her, she can go back and collect on that and get interest on it.
Yep.
So
it's like she's got
deal.
A bank account.
It's a good deal. She's just accruing, she's just deferring future income.
So is it best?
So you better hope mama stays happy.
Yeah. Is it in his best interest that he gets that taken care of, though?
I wouldn't go looking for it.
Yeah, right, I don't
right,
know.
Right. Right. I'm not going to tell you to continue to be in contempt of court, sir, because that's what you are. But I am going to tell you, unless they're looking for you.
Yeah.
I would start putting some money away now so you got something to make a deal with when they find you.
You know, not suggesting contempt or anything like that, but I would say the average person has enough problems without looking for additional
ones.
There you go.
Absolute Law text line question for Mike Chinopoulos. Mike, after the day you file for divorce, how long does it take to get everything finalized from there and be completely done?
That all depends on how nicely you all want to play together. If one of you can't play well with others, it's going to take a long time and cost a lot of money. And if the two of you will cooperate and be reasonable, put aside whatever bad emotions you might have toward each other and just say, all right, let's just get this done. What's fair? Lean on your lawyers to help you understand what's fair because you're emotional. Get it done and walk away. It can be done cheaply and very quickly. So it's up to you.
Let's say on average, it's and nothing is average. But there's a few little contentions, and there might be some child support to work out. On average, a divorce, barring any major complication, can be completed how long? Before the judge, and that was the key. I remember mine, seeing the judge's signature.
Sign. Yeah, within a year.
Within a year?
Yeah.
All right. You're available no matter what, at whatever day of the week it is.
I am 24/7. You call me at 239-ASK-MIKE. Outside of normal business hours, you press 6. It comes straight to me. So leave your voicemail there. If I don't answer, I will call you back. 239-ASK-MIKE.
And I do want you to stress again, because it's a couple of weeks now you've been coming in about it, about the spousal abuse, and that even if they, you don't think they can afford it, give you a call.
Even if you can't afford a lawyer, and you know you can't afford a lawyer, you need the help, you're a domestic violence victim, call me at 239-ASK-MIKE. What we're going to do is we're going to direct you to the resources that are available in the community to help you get the assistance you need to get yourself and or your children out of a dangerous situation.
Mike, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Mike Chinopoulos, every Tuesday here on the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock.
A nonstop thrill ride that'll keep you on the edge of your seat, coupled with a tender love story that will leave you openly weeping.
What the hell?
If we could just pull that off.
we'd be friggin' rich. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Stan and Haney here in about 25 minutes. Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law will be joining us, taking your phone calls. If you'd like to right now, text us with a question for Mike. Feel free to do so. I can't tell you how many times Mike comes in here and then he leaves at just before 4 o'clock. And then the questions and the texts come in and he doesn't get a chance to answer them because you got him in too late. If you want to go and text your question to Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law right now, feel free to do so. And he will be taking your phone calls in about another 20, 25 minutes or so. Later on today, Stan's Name That Movie, and one of the prizes up for grabs is the Rolling Stones Bridges to Bremen DVD, which will get you qualified for Stones tickets. But right now, if you'd like to call us, 277-9600, maybe pick up a prize, Bob Cousaw, Pewter Mug, Brian Kilmeade, maybe tickets to the Disrupt Festival, Bam's Restaurant, Subway, Sunshine Ace Hardware, 277-9600.
You know, it's that time of year again,
it
Stan.
It sure is, Haney.
I think it's time to bring back an old Stan and Haney tradition for this time of year.
What's that? Mighty, mighty hot. Great John Fogerty, one of the greatest songs he's ever done.
Way out here in the cotton.
Mighty, mighty hot.
If you're outside, you can feel this.
Yeah.
Sweat rolling off of the shovel. Digging in the devil's boneyard. Sure like a cool drink of water. Soothe my face. Sure like a woman to talk to in this place. There's 110 in the shade.
And that's mighty, mighty hot.
Yeah. 277-9600. I got a little thing from the local beat. When these things pop out at me, I get notifications sometimes on my phone, and I say, well, is this for real? And it's real. Dateline Collier County, Naples. A homeless Naples man is facing a trespassing charge after behaving erratically outside a McDonald's restaurant. According to the Collier County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to reports of a male taking his clothes off, dancing strangely at the restaurant on Tamiami Trail East near Bayshore Drive. This happened on Sunday evening.
And where is it?
Naples, off of Bayshore, or near Bayshore, at the McDonald's.
Oh, my God.
Witnesses, and here's a shocker, witnesses believe the man must have been on drugs.
Oh, you don't say.
And stated that it looked as though the male was trying to have relations with a railing.
Oh. I'll have what he's having.
Deputies recognized the man as 63-year-old John F. Morgan.
Are you kidding me?
Whom they have had a whom they've had contact with in
he
the past.
He has an account with them.
Yes. He has a history of trespassing arrests and had been warned the night before, stay away from the restaurant. Morgan was placed.
What is going on if you're 63 acting like that?
Look at him. There he is. Morgan was placed under arrest and charged with trespass on property other than
when you've been
structure.
Banned from the McDonald's,
yeah,
man.
And you're trying to hump a railing nude. And you're 63 years old. Mighty, mighty hot.
Pain in the shade.
Mighty, mighty hot. 277-9600.
Did you see the story out of Indian Harbor Beach?
Our old stomping grounds?
21-year-old little cutie. And the Daily Mail being the Daily Mail, they were kind enough to think of us and include a nice bikini shot of her.
Oh, nice.
Tight body
on
this girl.
Yeah, what was she doing? Mighty, mighty high.
Well, she's 21, and she and her boyfriend have been together for 3 years.
Oh, that's nice. Good, steady relationship.
They are, or were, cohabitating, and it was evidently an incident of some sort where I guess the boyfriend became aware of certain text messages on her phone that may have caused him to suspect some infidelity. According to the police report, she showed her displeasure with his interest in her private text messages by grasping the sack. And I looked at the bikini pic.
Yeah.
You know, hot girl, she likes to have her nails done.
Uh-huh.
She grasped the sack so hard, she drew blood.
Oh, they're capable. Capable of anything. We're on the air. Get out of the room.
Thank you, brother.
277-9600.
Yeah. If he could find the bikini shot.
Yeah. Rob, see, just sniff around.
There it is. Oh, right there. Right. Right there.
Zoom into that for me. Let me see what she looks like.
Now, you're telling me you couldn't be tempted with that?
Oh,
yes, you would.
Very, very. That's mighty, mighty hot. Yeah,
and,
that's nice.
And so you land a girlfriend like that and then end up with bleeding from the sack.
Capable of anything. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, Stan. Mark, this is Gary down in Naples.
Hey, Gary, how are you, brother?
Gary.
All right, brother. Hey, yeah, it is hot, too.
Mighty, mighty hot.
Mighty hot. But anyway, yesterday, Mark was playing some music by Hank Williams.
Yes, sir.
And it just, I realized there's only so many chords. But boy, did it sound like the Battle of New Orleans by Johnny Horton.
Well, it is.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Well, that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Yeah, he just put his words over it.
277-9600. Was that a musical instrument in her hand, Rob? What is that? Oh, no.
That's her 21st birthday.
Oh, that's a 21st birthday. Looked like she might have been holding like a bassoon.
Now, you're looking at this at 21 and in a bikini.
Yeah.
Imagine the damage she will do before her looks catch up with her character.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, guys. This is Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, you guys talked about that story yesterday about Iran and the sex changes and all that
stuff.
But it brought back a memory when I was in college. I went to school with a guy from Saudi Arabia. A guy came from money, you know, oil, multimillionaire, well-educated. Whole nine, but it just gives you a little perspective. I forgot how the conversation came up, but homosexuality came up, and as calm as cool as can be, just looked at me and says, oh, no, there's no homosexuality
in
Saudi Arabia. That's a disease of the West. And I'm just like you're just like, oh, my God.
Oh, and they'll make sure of it. They'll make sure of it. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Brandy, the girl that won $1,000.
Hey, Brandy. I figured you'd be in Indiana by now.
Get back to Indiana.
No, not yet. We're fixing to.
Oh, I thought you... Didn't you just email us a couple of weeks back that you were already getting ready to go?
No, we had something coming up, so we had to do that first.
Brandy, admit it. No money to go to Indiana. You and your husband spent it all.
No, we still got it. We're fixing to go up there. My old man's an old dirt track. Flat track.
Oh, kick ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to go up there and do that. That's what the money's for.
Hell yeah.
Good girl.
I just want to call you guys and say thank you again.
You're welcome, sweetheart. And thank you for listening to the show.
96 K-Rock.
Right on, baby.
That Brandy, she's a fine girl.
Yeah, I was young. I spent my summer day laying on the track. Sound of the wheels rolling on the steel.
know this song right here?
What about it?
It's from the Centerfield album.
Yeah.
I played this. It was a country hit.
I believe it. I believe it. Big news for CCR fans with the 50th anniversary of Woodstock coming up. They didn't authorize it before. Coming out soon, the entire CCR performance at Woodstock. I think they did 11 songs at Woodstock and nobody's heard them other than bootlegs and stuff. All crystal clear. CCR at Woodstock.
We're lucky to have them. I just saw it today because they've downplayed it. But in 2008, a warehouse at Universal in California.
Yeah.
They won't even say the number. But this warehouse caught on fire, and this warehouse housed, I think it was like over 500,000 original masters. Elton John, Buddy Holly, Bing Crosby.
Didn't they have it in some any kind of fireproof thing?
No. It burned to the ground, and they say nobody will ever know the true damage because they've kept it so quiet. They go, it was everybody from Bing Crosby to Eminem lost these masters.
Oh, my God.
And I guess all hell is breaking loose behind the scenes, but nobody can say anything because of all the lawsuits. They say we may not even know what we lost. Elton John, all
that's
kinds
insane.
Of stuff.
Speaking of lawsuits, Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law in studio next. If you want to talk to him, phone lines will be open for the back half of the 3 o'clock hour to talk to Mike. He's a lawyer. He can help you. 277-9600. He'll also answer your questions if you throw them up on the Absolute Law text line.
Can we see that bikini shot again, please?
277-9600.
No harm in looking.
Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law.
You see something like that?
Yeah.
Especially if you yourself are you can't help yourself.
You can't. The eye sees what the eye sees.
And then you end up... when you're a man...
With a cut scrotum.
When you're a man bleeding from the crotch, something has gone horribly wrong.
We'll be back.
Two radio vagabonds who have somehow stolen your heart, Southwest Florida. Stan and Haney in the afternoon. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Let me put phones on lockdown here because we're going to give you a chance to win here in a second with Stan's Name That Movie. Mark Haney in the news coming up in about 30 minutes.
You know, I was just trying to educate Junior.
It's useless. Why? You've been doing it for months and months and months.
Do you think you could very briefly explain to him who Tawana Brawley is?
Oh, tell me you don't know who Tawana Brawley is.
No, I don't.
He doesn't think things like that happen.
It happens. Tawana Brawley was a young girl who lived in Brooklyn.
Yeah, young girl of color.
A young girl of color. And she claimed that she was attacked and raped by a group of white guys that spray-painted various racial slurs on her body, beat her up, raped her. They all took pictures about it and all that. And one of the big supporters of her who started rallies and really caused a lot of damage was Al Sharpton. That's where he made his bones
Did a lot of damage to race relations.
A horrible amount.
And that's when Al Sharpton became famous nationwide.
And as the investigation was being done, they realized that she made the entire story up.
Never happened.
It never happened.
Did she, confess to that?
Yes.
Yes, she finally admitted to it. There's a picture of Tawana and Al Sharpton when he had his hairdo.
Wow, that's some nice hair.
Yeah, yeah, it was a hairdo.
Made up.
Yeah. Let's get you updated on traffic. Then we're going to play Name That Movie. I'll go over the prizes, one being getting qualified for the Stones tickets by winning a Rolling Stones Bridges to Bremen DVD. That gets you in the running for the Rolling Stones tickets. I'll go over the rest of the prizes in just a second. Let's get you updated on traffic, brought to you by Jets Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, a few things on the board. We will start with, let's see where this is. Fort Myers got a crash. Oh, this is North Fort Myers. Crash, North Tamiami Trail, right by the Smokin' Pit Barbecue.
Oh, that sounds good.
And we have a crash, Cape Coral. Skyline Boulevard and Veterans Parkway. And in Lehigh Acres, a crash. Homestead Road North and Taylor Lane. And you are up to date.
Stan, before you get into this, I have just one question.
Yes, sir.
Is the Aunt Jemima treatment going to be involved?
No. No.
How could you not?
I know, but I...
Junior, you ever heard of the Aunt Jemima treatment?
No, but I like the sound of it.
These are movies with Bill Murray. Bill Murray...
You need to watch Stripes.
Bill Murray has been in, I want to say... like
2,000 movies.
Like 64 movies. I've got to take five of them.
I would say that may be his finest work.
It's a good part of that. Let's not talk any further about it.
Oh, come on.
All right.
Everybody knows.
Up for grabs. I told you, get qualified for the Stones with the Bridges to Bremen DVD. We've got Babacu Saw. We got Pewter Mug North. You want to go see Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends, number one best-selling author. He's going to be at the Southwest Florida Event Center on July 19th. We got tickets for that. The Disrupt Festival featuring The Used, Thrice, and more at the Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater. We got tickets for that. Bam's Restaurant, Subway gift card, Sunshine Ace Hardware gift card. Stans, name that movie. Five movie clips featuring the work of one of the funniest and really good actor, Bill Murray.
And impromptu party guest?
Yep. You never know. He has no agent. He has no manager.
800 number.
You want to get a hold of him? He's got an 800 number. Lucky if you have it. If he decides to return your call, good for you. That's awesome. Your job is to name the film. I'll release the phones after the first clip. It'll be winner's choice by prizes. First person to name the film. First couple might be difficult. Name this Bill Murray movie.
What's going on?
This seems to be a bit of a problem. A bit. Here's the thought. We put down our guns. You go your way. We go our way. No hard feelings. He doesn't speak any English.
Not a word.
Okay.
You're just going to sit down?
Yeah, I think... Why don't we all just sit down for a sec?
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't smoke.
Take a cigarette.
I don't smoke.
Take a goddamn cigarette.
John Wayne.
John Wayne.
K Can you name it? 277-9600. Junior is befuddled. 277-9600. Name that Bill Murray movie. Well, he's in the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
Rick.
Rick?
From Naples.
Rick from Naples. Can you name the movie?
Is it Spies Like Us?
Nope. Good guess. Not it, though.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
This is David.
David, can you name the movie?
Stripes.
Nope. It's not.
Good guess.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Megan.
Megan, you know this movie. What is it?
The Monuments Men?
It is. It's Monuments Men. You are absolutely correct. What would
awesome.
You, what would you like?
The pewter mug, please.
You got it. $50 to the pewter mug. Hold on. That's how the game's played. This next one might be a little tricky, too. Bill Murray, he's been in a lot of movies. Name this movie in which Bill Murray appears. Movie clip number two.
Hey, Sarah, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. The future's not ours to see. Que sera.
Mr. Bunny, Vlad Roth, I heard you were becoming a lady.
Oh, that. Mexico was a nightmare. He got in a car accident. He was killed. Our luggage was stolen. The surgeon turned out to be a quack. If it hadn't been for these men, I don't know how I would have survived.
Name the movie. 277-9600. Bill Murray. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. Ahoy. Oh. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Mark.
Mark?
Yep.
Can you name the movie?
Three Amigos?
No, it's not. No, it is not. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? Who?
Hello, this is Tom.
Tom, can you name the movie?
Stripes?
Nope. No. No.
Good guess.
Good guess. Ahoy, who's this?
My name is Stephanie.
Stephanie, you know this movie, don't you?
Three Amigos?
Nope. No. 277-9600. Name the movie.
Okay, Sarah,
Ahoy,
Sarah.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Carlos from Fort Myers.
Pablo, you know this movie, don't you?
Well, that's no brainer.
What is it?
It's Sarah, Sarah. Whatever will be, will be.
What? That's the name of the movie?
That's the one, isn't it?
No. That's not the name of the movie.
Hey, Sarah, 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 whatever will be, will be.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Dick.
You know, sorry. Don't play games with me. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Linda.
Hi, Linda. Can you name the movie?
Ed Wood.
It is Ed Wood. You are correct.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I am so psyched.
You got it. What would you like?
Oh, the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, we're going to give you the Bridges to Bremen DVD, and you're in the running for the tickets.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Hold on, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold on. There you go. Ed Wood. He had a little cameo in that movie. All right. Movie clip number three, Bill Murray movies. Name this Bill Murray film.
Do you want to come sailing with me on my friend George's boat?
No, no.
That's okay. You don't have to.
No, I'd love to. it sounds great. I've never been on a boat, and I don't think I can handle it. It just makes my lips numb to think about it. But if your friend is a good sailor and the craft is seaworthy, yes, I will go sailing. Yeah, let's go sailing. I have no other plans. I'm sailing! I'm sailing! Guess what? Ahoy!
I sail! I'm a sailor! I sail! Isn't this a breakthrough?
I mean, that I'm a sailor? I sail? I sail now?
Keep sailing! Out on a boat on the lake, way far away from the dock, the end of the wind with the sky and everything. Ahoy!
You're still at the end there.
You're still at a loss, aren't you?
Befuddled.
Yeah.
That is not it.
Nope. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, this is Mike.
Mike, name the movie.
Is it What About Bob?
It is What About Bob. You are right. What would you like?
Is there any restaurants or anything available?
Yeah, I've got Pewter Mug. I've got That's Bam's perfect. Restaurant. I've got Subway. What do you want?
Pewter Mug would be great.
All right, hold on. Movie clip number 4. Name this movie.
Okay, Mr. Push-Ups, let's hear your story.
Chicks dig me, because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual. But now I know why I have always lost women to guys like you. I mean, it's not just the uniform. It's the stories that you tell. So much fun and imagination. Lee Harvey. You are a madman. When you stole that cow and your friend tried to make it with the cow, I want to party with you, cowboy. The two of us together? Forget it. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to volunteer my leadership to this platoon. An army without leaders is like a foot without a big toe. And Sergeant Hulka isn't always going to be there to be that big toe for us. I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy and big toe, Sergeant Hulka.
Well, okay, hotshot. We're going to see what kind of soldier you are.
Name the movie.
Well, a lot of love between him and
Sergeant Hulka.
Big toe.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Paul from Naples.
Paul from Naples. Name the movie, buddy.
Stripes?
It is Stripes. It is. Finally, we got one that's right. Junior has been sitting here. He thinks he knows Bill Murray, and he don't know a damn thing.
He's a growing boy.
Yeah. What would you like?
The Rolling Stones.
Already got somebody qualified for it today.
Oh. Okay. So what else is there?
You know what? The Rolling Stones do nothing but disappoint people.
Because, you know,
you're right.
Look, I can't qualify everybody for the thing. I've got Subway. I've got Sunshine Ace Hardware. I got Bam's Restaurant. I've got the Disrupt Festival in Tampa. I've got Brian Kilmeade coming to Bonita. I've got the Pewter Mug. I've got Babacusaw.
Brian Kilmeade.
Yeah, you're going to love him. Hold on. One more to go. So far, Junior, you're 0 for 4.
No, he got that one, didn't he?
No, he didn't. He didn't know
I
that.
Did,
oh,
yeah.
You knew that that was Stripes?
Only because I Googled it.
Jeez. Last one.
Is that what it's come to? You're Googling things now?
Well, yeah. I just looked up Bill Murray push-ups.
Never did that while you were working for us.
Oh. Boom! Only when Megan told him.
Yeah. That's Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's called
whatever.
Megan.
Yeah. All right. Do you, see her from time to time? Do you say hi to her?
No.
Okay.
No.
Last Bill Murray clip. Name the movie.
I'm Ernie McCracken. When I found out little Billy here was growing up without a daddy, I had to do something.
When Big Earn saw our picture in the paper, he called the Unified Fund and got involved.
I had to. couldn't help myself. But little Billy's not the only one. There's also a little Jason here. Once again this year, I'll be sponsoring a fatherless family in every city I'm born in.
Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, Mr. McCracken's already there.
Jonathan, we're on a fly pattern all the way to the goal line. Tennessee! Kentucky! Dino Beach! Deeper, Jonathan.
It's a tough world. These kids nearly got Munson, but they're back now. Through the Unified Fund, I found out that if you give a little, you can get back a whole lot more.
I love that music.
Yeah, name the movie. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I do.
All right, write it down on a piece of paper. Prove to me that you know what that movie
along is. Along with today's count and amount.
Yes. It's writing a lot.
Along with today's count and amount, please.
That's not it?
No.
Oh, that's come on, man.
And you didn't even write down today's count and amount. What is the count and the amount?
Well, I guess I'm 0 for 5 now.
What is the count and the amount, please?
The count and what?
The count is 7. The amount, $50.
Thank Remember you, that. Stan.
Thank you, Haney.
Don't you know anything?
Ahoy, who's this?
My name is Rob.
Rob, can you name the movie?
The Kingpin.
Well, take the off of it.
Kingpin.
Yes! You are
correct. Love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, one of the best. What would you like?
We'll do the pewter mug.
All right, you got it, buddy. Hold on. There you go.
I'm going to ask you again, Junior. What is the count, today's count, and amount?
I have no idea what you're even talking about.
Jeez.
What is the count and the amount?
Do you know what it was?
I'm lost.
Do you know what it was? Do you know what it was yesterday? I'll tell you. Maybe yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. What?
It was $17.25.
So what is today's count and amount? The count and the amount.
I don't know. $17.25.
No, oh, sorry.
$50?
Sorry.
Oh, come on, man.
Sorry.
All right, can you at least tell me today's direction? What is the secret direction today?
Left?
Can we accept it? He's only got half of it.
We cannot. We cannot accept
West?
Half.
The correct answer is back and to the left.
We'll be back. Team USA today defeated Thailand in the biggest blowout in World Cup history.
Wow, were they all lady boys?
I don't know. You know, it's soccer. That's why nobody likes it, because it 2-1, a 1-0. And you don't know when the game ends, because it's like, they've just called for extra time.
I don't know. And in my opinion, soccer and baseball are fun to participate in. If I'm going to watch something, it'll be football.
Yeah. USA defeats Thailand 13-0 in a soccer match. Go figure. We're going to get you updated on
they
traffic.
They call them the reggae girls, the Brazil, yeah. Or the Jamaica team that yeah. nearly beat Brazil.
Yeah.
But they're all American girls.
Yeah. Well, that's
how does that even work?
Goes that way whenever, like the when baseball has its world thing, and hockey does the same thing too. It's your country of origin.
Well, there was like a
you may be a U.S. citizen, but your family comes from Brazil. You can play for them.
There was one girl from New Jersey who plays professional soccer in Holland, but was representing Jamaica.
Yeah.
And I can tell from looking at her, she doesn't have family there. know what I mean?
Yes. We're going to get you updated on traffic. Mark Haney.
Let's just say the other girls had dreadlocks.
Right.
She didn't.
Right. Mark Haney in the news.
Porcelain.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Several of them.
Almost ivory looking.
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting question. See, I don't have an answer to this. That's why somebody texted it to Junior. Ask Junior why Drunk Trump, which Kimmel shows all the time. We love it.
Mm-hmm.
Why Drunk Trump is so funny, and why the person who posted Drunk Nancy Pelosi is getting death threats.
I think they're both funny.
So you don't mind any of that. Thank you, by the way.
No, these people are absolute nuts. In the New York Times this past Sunday, they did an article about, it was like, YouTube spawns right-wing radicals. And they were picking on the usual suspects, Paul Joseph Watts and Steven Crowder, those people, and calling them extreme, which they're not. And the article goes through, it's based on this 26-year-old kid who said, yeah, I went to a dark place watching those right-wing videos, but I've seen the light now because I watch left-wing videos. And they've convinced me I was wrong about everything. And it goes through and describes about how this kid saw the light and stopped looking at people like Paul Joseph Watson and Steven Crowder. And instead, he's now been saved watching videos about the positives of feminism and Marxism.
Hey, you can see that, can't you, Junior?
I don't know about that.
And the Times is talking about all of these things as, you know, all of these pro-American viewpoints. He's finally seen how wrong he was and realizes now that Marxism is the answer. Yeah. And I'm reading this, I'm going, this is in the New York Times.
Yeah, well,
and that we need to make sure that we don't have these crazy people influencing the youth. We have to steer them towards Marxism, and here's how.
Yeah.
YouTube is changing the algorithm to try and brainwash people. And no, I'm just...
Do you think you're getting through to him? You're not.
Oh, I wasn't talking to him.
Who are you talking to? Because you're
someone
not...
that might be reached.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Fort Myers got a crash. The 7600 block of Alico Road, right by Storage King USA.
That's a strong name.
Yeah, sure is.
Got to have a lot of confidence to use that name.
Storage King USA.
High expectations.
Crash, Fort Myers, the 11,000 block of Gladiolus Drive, right by the Chase Bank. And Lehigh Acres. Crash, Gunnery Road South and State Road 82.
Do you think there is a Storage King? A guy who's built himself a throne?
You're damn right there is. You don't see him much anymore. But he's there.
Wonder if we could get an interview with him.
With the Storage King? I think it can be arranged.
It'd be fascinating to be in the presence of royalty.
Mark Haney and the news. Brought to
when
you-
did you know you were the Storage King? When did it happen?
Yeah.
Were probably, you born with it?
Probably happened in the 70s. His dad wanted to be a storage king and said, you know what? I may not be the storage king, but you, my son, are the storage prince. His dad dies and he becomes
so
the storage king.
The usual hereditary monarchy?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bring us news.
Direct from our newsroom in color, this is the news with Roger Mudd in Indianapolis, David Shoemaker in Indianapolis, Don Webster in Saigon,
Robert Fairpoint
in Washington, Robert Shackney in New York City,
that means
Jim
it's working.
Yep. In Hewlett, New York.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday, June 11th.
Double MXIX.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. We love our Lincoln Logs, don't we?
We do.
You know who invented Lincoln Logs?
I heard something about it. Somebody famous invented them. Like an architect.
They were invented by a gentleman by the name of John Lloyd Wright. Who is screaming in the hallway?
I don't know.
No. What? You don't. It gets ugly when you tell somebody to shush.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's getting really loud over there. Rob, I want, don't yell at him. Just walk out there and find out who it is.
Is it a woman?
Is it a woman? Is it a man? Is it somebody that we should not even bring attention to? Somebody was really angry. All right. Who should we? Do we want to say, or is it best not to?
Yeah.
Oh, why can't I hear you?
Because you don't have it on.
No, I got it. Yeah, it's another radio show here in the building.
It's another radio show.
Oh, come on,
is it the sports guys?
Yeah. They know better.
They're professionals, aren't they?
I like them.
Yeah, I like them
they're
fine.
On the air. I don't know.
Is the door open?
No, all the doors are closed.
Jesus.
Was it done for the air, or are they really mad?
They're on the air. I don't know. They look like they're arguing. Okay. But.
You know, I'm gonna
arguing about sports.
Yeah, about sports.
They were screaming like half an hour ago.
Oh, were they really?
Yeah.
Were you eavesdropping?
They were watching whatever. That soccer game. He kept saying,
I don't even want to talk. No soccer, nothing. Jeez.
So John Lloyd Wright.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
The son. There you go. Let's throw Junior a bone here. Because I know there is no greater hero to Junior's generation than Tupac.
Oh, two packs of sugar.
My dog.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Please.
Hit me, bro.
How many number one albums did Tupac have? He's actually nervous about it.
Yeah. I'm a little nervous.
Come on. One of the greatest legends in his genre. How many number one albums?
Can you even name a song?
Nope.
Not me neither.
Nope.
California Dreamin'.
That's by the Mamas and Papas.
You're darn right.
I don't know. Five?
He only had two albums that hit number one, and he didn't really get to enjoy either one. One hit while he was in jail, the other one after he was dead.
If he is in fact dead.
It's a hard knock life. Frat boys and polo shirts.
Yep.
Pop that collar, son.
Used to.
Well, that's good, because the polo shirt was designed that way.
I know that.
You do?
I most certainly do.
Well, enlighten us then.
When I was in high school, growing up in the Northeast, it was corduroy pants and Izod polo shirts. And
we had corduroy pants, but lightning bolt shirts, surfwear.
Oh, when I came down here, I discovered lightning bolt. Now, Izod at the time had a deal with Lacoste because the French clothing manufacturer made a deal with
Izod. Now, that's your
Izod.
Alligator shirt.
Right. But in those days, Izod was the alligator shirt in the United States. So you had to have the alligator shirt, corduroy pants. On a casual day, you were allowed to wear a pair of Levi's. And the collar would go up so that you didn't go and sunburn your neck. When I came down here, my first year coming down here to go to college, I had my corduroy pants and my Izod shirt with the collar up. And I'm telling you, I took a beating. What the hell is you? What are you doing? What is that? But that was the way they're supposed to be worn.
That is true. The polo shirt was designed specifically so that the collar could be turned up to protect your neck from the sun when you were playing tennis.
Yep.
So people popping their collar, that's actually designed that way.
Girls, pleated dress, crew neck sweater with their initials on the front in script. That's the way it was. That's the way we went to school.
How are we doing on time, by the way?
Well.
Let's put it this way. If we took the break in a minute, would it be three or?
It would be three.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just do this now.
Okay. Yeah, you ain't got about a minute.
There is nothing like a good beer can gimmick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago, Coors Light came out with those cans where the mountains turned blue when the can was cold.
I had a Blatzmann beer can that I got from my grandfather had it. It was a can of Blatz, and it had the head and the arms.
I did, too. Only mine was a bottle, and he was, I think he was playing hockey.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was just a can with a head and arms.
Yeah. It was the same thing, except I think mine was playing hockey.
Blatz beer.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, Miller Lite has upped the ante on your novelty can. They have created a new beer can that doubles as a video game controller.
I don't buy it.
Complete with control pad, buttons, and a Bluetooth connection where you can hook it up and play. Unfortunately, if this is something that appeals to you, you have to attend a specific event in Los Angeles tomorrow night.
Oh, well, I'm not.
And you must beat the comedian Eric Andre in a game of Street Fighter.
Jeez. Come on. Come on.
Other than that, easy enough. Well, you know, I always regret it when I don't pick up things. Like when I didn't get my not a flamethrower from Elon Musk. I always regret it.
You had your opportunity.
Yep.
Yep, but you said no.
I say, you know, we'll wait. No. Can't get your hands on one now. In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
We are asked often if the Diamond District is a retail or wholesale jewelry store. Well, we're both.
We're wholesale diamond brokers, selling to the public, and the Diamond District sells to jewelry stores around the country. We have the largest selection of GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds, all priced at wholesale, below what you'll find on the internet.
On the retail side, you can visit the Diamond District every day. We have a beautiful showroom where you can relax, work with an educated team of professionals, including two GIA graduate gemologists, and view the largest selection of GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds, along with the largest selection of diamond fashion jewelry in Southwest Florida.
The Diamond District selection includes over 3,000 engagement rings from world-renowned designers, including Tacori, Baragio, and many more. With the selection, wholesale pricing, and comfortable environment, you simply won't find a better diamond buying experience than with the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, it's not something you like to think about.
It sure isn't.
You know, when you'll see it in a movie or a TV show, any last wishes, any last request, any last words, I always draw a blank.
Really?
Because I'm thinking, I won't be there, so what does it really matter? But some people are very specific about what they want after their passing. A 71-year-old gent named Leonard Durkin from Leeds, England, died several weeks ago from heart failure.
Aww.
But before exiting this mortal coil, he made sure his family understood his very specific wishes. He wished to be buried with a bacon double cheeseburger from Burger King.
Yeah, they pulled the hearse right up there.
His family honored that wish.
Yeah, they did.
En route to the funeral, his children had the entire funeral procession go through a Burger King drive-thru.
The man loved it. The man loved it.
And his 50-year-old son, Peter, ordered that specific burger and placed it on top of the coffin.
Yep.
Well, not all of Leonard's wishes came through, because if you'll recall, he wished to be buried with a bacon double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
His family opted for the crematorial. Leonard and the burger were destroyed.
Okay. But their ashes are together. They're one.
Intertwined.
Yeah.
For all eternity.
Forever and ever.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. special moment, special time.
Sounds fairly silly to me.
Yes, it does.
And an additional strain on a grieving family.
Yep. Something they don't need.
Not at this time. It may have been a good joke, yucking it up before you drop dead.
Sure.
But now, not look, so much now. That, you know, you're obligated to do this.
You know how much it costs per hour to have a hearse?
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, and then you have the whole procession go through a drive-through. Everybody's got to get something.
Yeah.
And, you know, then inevitably there are spills.
Yep.
What a shame.
Have to have that whole damn hearse shampooed.
Yep, very selfish. A 47-year-old man in Israel was just arrested after... Uh-oh, Junior's in the room. 47-year-old man in Israel was arrested after robbing at least two banks.
Oh, that's, you know what? That's Junior's wish, to rob a bank. I don't get
that. That's his life goal.
That is my life goal.
When did it first get into your head? How old were you?
I must have been like, I don't know, 12, 11.
Do you know what made you think this?
Coming into manhood, I guess.
Whatever. It's a goddamn misguided thought.
I don't know. Just TV, movies. Those like old-timey bank robbers barging into the bank.
Stick 'em up films.
Stick 'em up, guys. Yeah.
What, like a Dog Day Afternoon?
He doesn't even know that movie. He doesn't even know it.
I don't.
Attica.
Just remember that. Attica!
He robbed at least two banks armed with nothing but an avocado.
Hey.
Now, he did his homework. He took the avocado, painted it black.
Yeah.
Claimed it was a grenade.
Brilliant!
And it worked like a charm twice. He picked up $4,500 in his first one and $3,300 in the second one. Cops couldn't ID him from the surveillance footage because of his brilliant disguise. He wore hats and sunglasses, and one time, an eye patch.
Wow.
Arrgh.
Yeah.
But they tracked him down by comparing the cell phone activity at each bank. His phone was the only phone active in both places as they were being robbed. And it turns out this is not his first encounter with the law. Turns out he has a lengthy record and spent 3 years in jail for a previous robbery, which means he spent 3 years in jail thinking of how he could rob a bank unarmed.
Yeah. What an avocado.
Because, you know, it wasn't really the robbery that did the time. It was that I'm armed. That's what they get me for.
Yeah.
You know what? I bet if I got... That's 3 years worth of thinking right there to paint an avocado black.
Yeah.
It is not clear how much time he's looking at for the avocado capers.
What you get when you spend 3 years in the tombs at Attica.
Yep.
Or at Rikers.
It's another word you need to learn, Junior. Capers.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill.
That's right, because you're pulling off a caper.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's not the stuff you put on a salad.
Oh, no, that's salad frosting. Something that we learned a long, long time ago from people who get away with stuff. You always deny.
Yep.
You can be nude and in the act of having relations with another man's wife.
Yep.
They walk in. I don't know what you're talking about. Stop talking crazy.
Yeah, you're what are you talking about? I'm doing nothing. What do you mean?
I wouldn't do that.
Of course not.
Here, let me put my pants on. I'll be on my way. Well, 20-year-old Fabricio Jimenez.
What's that with that? I hear that a lot now. It's Jimenez.
No,
it's
not.
But now they got a in it.
Fabricio Jimenez from Newport Richey was pulled over around 4:30 a.m. Sunday.
Oh, nothing good happened then.
And the police could not help but notice the white powder on his nostrils. Now, Fabrizio, why are they doing this? They couldn't help but notice that Fabrizio had white powder all over his nostrils. But Fabrizio had an excuse. According to the police report, Fabrizio attempted to explain to the deputies that the cocaine on his nose was not his.
No.
He couldn't explain why someone else's cocaine was on his nose. Plus, it didn't help that he had a bag with more cocaine on his person, with a huge bag of weed and a couple of Zanny bars.
Not mine. I saw the bag of weed, full of buds.
He was arrested for felony narcotics possession, but maintains his innocence.
Yeah, he has real hipster eyeglasses, too. Yes, geez. Yeah, look at that bag.
Yep.
All the prime stuff.
Yep. And that's the news for today, Tuesday, June 11th.
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, Little Mucky Haney, selling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We are the Stan and Haney Show.
To be a true champion, you need pride, vision, and perseverance. You need these same qualities to be a moderately successful afternoon FM talk show. Do you really expect people to believe this shit? Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney here. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Rob's show coming up at 6 o'clock, and he will have a chance for you to get qualified for those Rolling Stones tickets. It's coming up tonight. Let's get a final look at traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Jet's Pizza bringing it to us. We will start in Fort Myers. Disabled vehicle. Buckingham Road and Palm Beach Boulevard. Also, Fort Myers. Crash. South Cleveland Avenue at Boy Scout Drive. And in Estero, we have a crash at the 10,000 block of Corkscrew Road, right at the Miramar Design Center. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Got a text message from my cell phone company telling me it's time to upgrade the software on my BlackBerry. So I call them up. Hey, I want to upgrade the software on my BlackBerry. She goes, oh, it's easy. Just hook it up to your computer. I said, that's cool. I have a Mac. She goes, oh, you need a PC. I said, I have a Mac. She goes, you need a PC. I said, hold on a second, I want to check something. Yeah, I still have a Mac. She goes, do you have a friend who has a PC? Oh, I bet I do. But that's a weird thing to say to me. That can't be how they trained you. Now, Janet, if a Mac user calls, just ask him if he has a buddy who has a PC. Tell him to go to his friend's house, then hang up on him. I go, I don't want to bug a friend. Is there any other place I can do this? She goes, oh, you can go to the public library. Can I? Seriously, let me go to the public library? The same library that's open to the public? You'll allow me to go there? None of the other phone companies would let me do that. Verizon wouldn't let me go get ice cream. How's that work? I go to the public library, pull out my BlackBerry and a big cable while 20 people look on, wondering why a guy with a BlackBerry doesn't own a computer. Is that what you're talking about?
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this.
From what I understand,
the midday guy, I don't even want to say his name, part-time.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. A little upset that he didn't get a chance to give some away.
What?
Because program director said,
are you
just
kidding
promo
me?
The fact
are you kidding me?
That two chances to win later. But I guess he was a little...
So you're telling me...
I didn't tell you anything. I don't want to get on anybody's bad side.
That placeholder is upset he hasn't been able to promote himself.
I don't want to get on anyone's bad side. I just catch the
vibe. I don't care about it anymore. You never want to get on anybody's bad side. I don't care. It's inevitable anyway. It's going to happen.
Did I get on somebody's bad side?
Well, me... I get on people's bad side, and I don't even know why.
We'll be back.
And you'll come to me and go, yeah, you're right. You're on their bad side. And I'll go, what are you talking about? I don't even know that person.
Stan is stirring things up.
What did I do?
I'm sorry.
Am I right or wrong here? Yep. Did I read a memo that said...
Did placeholder complain that his temporary show wasn't getting enough publicity?
Yeah.
Not enough promotion.
No.
Did you explain to him, make sure, because you are not getting people qualified for the Rolling Stones?
No.
Well, he did yesterday. So he did? Yes.
Oh, that shouldn't happen.
He did yesterday.
That shouldn't happen.
Rob's turn today. Stan and Haney's turn.
Well, that's fine.
Day.
I mean, that's because Rob actually works here. But
Yes. Oh, God. I don't want to get on anybody's bad side.
You never have.
You guys are pouring it on today, aren't you? Pouring it on.
Matt, you've known me a long time.
Yeah.
How many people do you suppose I'm on their bad side?
Haney hits and runs. That's what he does. Stan goes after it hour after after. Well, Haney just boom, and then
he's gone. Stan knows how. It's because Stan is a better boxer than I am, and he knows how to work the body. I just know how to throw haymakers. I'm not a boxer. I'm Butterbean.
You're not that man. No doubt.
What were you going to ask
him? King of the three rounders.
What were you going to ask him?
About the placeholder?
No, about yourself. You said, what do people want to think about
you? Oh, well, you've known me for many years.
Yes, absolutely.
Just as a guess, how many people have I ended up on their bad side and I may not even know who they are?
Haney, you intimidate just walking down the hallway.
But I mean, I don't.
Way it was. When I met you, I was intimidated by you until I got to know you and realized that
I've always liked you.
And you're a very likable dude, but you do have an intimidating presence. I think part of it is the voice. And just kind
no,
of the
way you know what it is.
Carry
I'll tell have you what
I,
it is.
I've never done anything to you.
You're a gentle giant. You know I love
he,
you.
He and we used to talk about
Matt
this.
Matt Mangus is one of my favorite people.
I know that.
Right here.
He's not the stop and chatter. You don't see Haney go and want to do a stop.
So you
and
thought
chat.
I was a jerk.
It's all business with Haney.
I didn't think you were
a jerk. I said I was intimidated by you because I was in awe.
You know
of
what, Haney? Back in 1987, I thought you were a jerk.
I thought you were a jerk.
You were a snake in the grass. No, let me explain something about you.
No, it's not important.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, because oftentimes you wonder, and you say the words, that's the first time I've heard them. What did I do to them?
I don't do anything to them.
That's the thing. There are people here that you haven't said a word to, and nobody's saying you have to, but that you haven't said a word to since they've been here, and they've probably been working here 2-3 years. Then there are the ones that I'm totally in agreement with you. Mainly in the sales department where they come in, you know, what's the use of making friends with them? They're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But you are steady and true. You're not going to engage them, as you used to say, and you probably still believe it, useless conversation.
Yeah, there's no point to it.
That's right. So the average person, you are not average.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, the average person will go, hey, how you doing? Glad to see you. How was your weekend? Yeah, that's great.
I assume you mean that I'm not average because I'm exceptional.
You're eccentric. And so they'll see you, walk by you. There are people here that I've had to explain to that when you give them a grunt, that's headway. Somebody walked down there, hey, Haney, how are you?
I noticed you.
Yeah. And I was like, oh. So then they come to me sometimes years down the line.
Okay, why?
Years down the line.
You're not dragging ex-girlfriends into this.
Well, that's a whole other ball game. That's a whole other deal. And they'll say, you know, Haney really doesn't like me. Well, why? Because, he doesn't talk to me. Well, he doesn't talk to me. And you know this, and I think it's a lot of its habit with you and I. We don't talk that much when the microphones aren't on.
Anytime we do that, we're ripping the audience
off. That's right. And I have to go and explain. That's just the way he is. He's not a stop and chatter. He's not somebody that wants to talk about something you did this weekend. He's not being rude, because if he was rude, he'd tell you, I don't care what you did this weekend. That doesn't affect me. And so that's, they get a misperception of you. When you used to, back in the old days, throw little get-togethers at your house. We'd barbecue and have some friends over. You are probably one of the most gracious hosts that would ever throw a house party, a gathering of friends that I know.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.